We begin the current daf in Masechtas Ksubos, daf Chav Gimel. We begin on the bottom of daf Chav Beis Mabeis, three lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, where the Gemara had a discussion regarding a married woman that up until now she had a Cheskes Eishes. Now there are two contradicting pairs of witnesses, either saying that she got divorced or she didn't get divorced, or her husband died or her husband didn't die. And then the question is, could she go ahead and get married? And if she does get married, is the halacha teitze or loy teitze? Does she have to leave that marriage or not? So the Gemara brings the following brass. The Rabbanan, Shnayim oimrim niskacha. If two witnesses say regarding a single woman that we know she got engaged to a certain individual, thus obviously making her aster to everybody else. The Shnayim oimrim loy niskacha. And other two witnesses say it's not true. She never got engaged to anybody else. She's still single. She could get married to whoever she wants to. So the halacha is harezu loy tinase. She's not allowed to get married to anybody else. Again, because that's the halacha of treu trei, which is a sveika de raisa, that's like a stalemate, makes you stay in the stringent position of a status quo, in other words, in what is usser, and you can't go actively and do opposite of what's usser. So since there's at least two edim saying that you cannot go ahead and get married because you're already engaged to someone else, so you can't get married. But vim nisus like titse, if she did go ahead and get married to someone else, then the status quo is okay, then you maintain that situation, which is you don't have to leave that because there are still two witnesses to say that she wasn't engaged with someone else. Now, Shnayim Oibrim Nisgarsha, similar type of case, where we're talking about a married woman. Two witnesses say that she got divorced, but Shnayim Oibrim Loi Nisgarsha, and two witnesses say that she did not get divorced. So, Halach is Harezu Loi Tinase. She's not allowed to go ahead and get married to someone else, again, because of Trey Trey, where you have two saying that she is divorced, two saying she's not divorced. So, because of that, Savik Deraisa, we maintain her cheskes eishes ish, and she's forbidden to get married to someone else. But then this is teitze. If she gets married to someone else, because she's relying on the two witnesses that she's divorced, she actually has to leave that new marriage, and she has to leave that, which is similar to Rabbi Yechanan that we had quoted in the previous staff, who holds teitze when there's two people saying that she was divorced and two people say that she wasn't divorced. Now, continue on top of Chav Gimel Manav, where the Gemara asks, Maishna Reisha, what's the difference in the first part of the Braisa, which is talking about contradictory witnesses, if she was engaged to someone else or not, where we say, Loi Teitze, that although there are two witnesses saying that she's already engaged to someone else, and now she gets married to someone else, still okay, since either way we'll stay status quo. Now that you're married, you could stay status quo, you don't have to leave, but a Maishna Seifa, and then what's the difference by the case of the Seifa when it's told Madgerishin, where it's similarly the same idea. We have two witnesses saying that she's divorced, hence she could marry someone else. Two witnesses saying that she's not. And yet we say that when she gets married, it's teitze, she has to leave that. Why don't you say the same thing over there? It's also status quo, and that you should say, like teitze. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, similar to as he resolved on the previous daf, he says, Tirgumah be'eid achad, you should interpret this braisa that not that is two witnesses saying one way, two witnesses saying the other way, so much that there's one witness. And therefore the explanation is as follows. There's one witness saying that she was engaged to someone else already, hence she's forbidden to get married to someone else. Another witness says that she wasn't engaged. Now, tavayu bipnui kamasadi. Essentially, both of them are saying witness that this woman was single. In other words, because according to both of them, they're admitting that up until now she was single. The question is, did she have kedushin now or not? Now, but both of them are creating chazak with both of their testimonies that up until now she was single. Now, the one witness that's saying that she was engaged to someone else, Havalei Chad, now he's one witness introducing a new idea that, however, yes, I agree she was single, but she got engaged to someone else. We don't believe the testimony of one person in the face of two, because both of them were saying she was single, which creates a chazakah of both of their testimonials. Now, one is saying that she got engaged. He's trying to remove his and the other one's testimony that she was at one point single. You don't believe one in the face of two. And that's why, yes, initially she shouldn't get married, as we explained in the previous daf, because of lazus vasayim, because people will be saying, But once she got married, for sure, halachically, it's loy teitze, because we believe the two witnesses, which are both of them, that's saying that she had a chazaka, that she was single. So to seifa, by the seifa, was eidacharim niskarsha. One witness said that she was divorced. One witness says she was not divorced. Now, again, the same idea. Tarvayu be'eshes ish kamasadi. Both of them essentially are saying that she was a married woman. They're both agreeing inferentially in their testimonies that she was married. Now, v'haid dekam in this gar shavlecha, the one that's saying, but now she got divorced, is one. Vein dvar shalecha b'makom shnayim. You don't believe one in the face of two, and therefore we don't even consider the one witness that's saying that she was divorced. Hence, all we retain is the shnayim that both agree that there was a chazaka that she was married. Hence, she's going to be forbidden, even if she marries someone else, the halacha will be teitzei, because we don't consider the one witness that's saying that she was niskarsha. That's a bias resolution. Rav Ashi Amar, he says, lo'ilam treitre. Now, truthfully, is as the Brisa seems to be saying. There's two witnesses saying one way and two witnesses saying the same way. They're saying the other way. Now, then the question was, but then what's the difference between the Reish and the Sefer? Additionally, he says, ve'epach, that you have to switch around. And that is actually the Reish that was Tumat Kedushin. You should learn that Imnisis, if she got married, then it's Tetzeh, she does have to leave. And the Sefer, there was Tumat Gerushin that said that if she gets married, the halacha is actually going to be Loi Tetzeh. As the Gemara explains Rav Ashi's interpretation, Shnayim Oimim Ranuhu Shiniskacha. Two witnesses say that we saw her get engaged to someone else. Hence, she's forbidden to marry anyone else. Vishnayim Oimim Loi Ranuhu Shiniskacha. And two witnesses say, not the way we had assumed in the Havamina, what they were saying, that we know that she did not get engaged. No, they're saying is, we did not see her get engaged. So the halach is, Harezu Loi Tenase. So of course she can't get married to someone else. Then this is Tetzeh, and if she gets married, she has to remove, because we don't really have any witnesses contradicting saying she wasn't engaged. All we're saying is that two witnesses say she got engaged. So that for sure makes her forbidden to everyone else. The other two witnesses are not saying we know she did not get engaged. All they're saying is that we didn't see her get engaged. So, okay, you didn't see, but we saw. You're not contradicting us. You don't say for sure that she didn't. So, of course, if she gets married to someone else, she has to be removed because she's engaged to someone else. So actually, the Gemara asks Peshitta, that's pretty obvious. When two witnesses say we didn't see her get engaged, that's not any proof. So you didn't see. You didn't see every wedding in the world. So why would we even entertain that to have to say in the Braisa that it's Tetzeh? So the Gemara says, Loi Tzricha. It was necessary to say it because there is a novelty to the halacha. Because it's talking about the diary b'chatzer echad. Those two witnesses who said we didn't see her get engaged, they live in the same courtyard as that woman. Now, Ma'udetemi, you would have thought to say, Im Isa din Iskacha, if it's true that she got engaged, Kala Isla Lamilsa, the word would have gone out that this and this girl is engaged, and therefore what they're claiming that we didn't see her get engaged is a valid claim. And maybe based on that, Allah would be actually Loi Tetzeh, because you have Trey, and then you could stay status quo. Kamash Malan, that's what the Brisa is teaching, the Avdi Inchi de Bekacha Bitsinam. No, people could tend to get engaged in private, and therefore it doesn't mean anything that, although your neighbors and you didn't hear about it, to say that she's maybe not engaged, hence to be Loi Tetzeh. And therefore the halacha is, as the Brisa says, that Tetzeh, she has to leave because no one essentially is contradicting the witnesses who say that she is engaged to someone already. Seifa, something regarding the second case of the Brisa, which says Shnayim Oimim Ruanuha Shiniskarsha. Again, the same idea, where it's two witnesses are saying, we saw her get divorced. Vishnayim Oimim Loi Ruanuha Shiniskarsha, and two witnesses saying, we didn't see her get divorced. Sahareza Loi Tinase, she shouldn't get married. Vimnes Loi Tetze, but if she got married, of course she doesn't have to leave, because essentially there's no really anyone contradicting the witnesses who say she got divorced. And if she got divorced, of course she could marry someone else now. Like it's chila not, again, because there seems to be some debate, and you don't want to go into a situation where people are rumoring about you. But once you got married, for sure, the second pair of witnesses didn't really contradict you. They just said, we didn't hear that she got divorced. But that doesn't contradict, and therefore, Loi Tetzeh. And that's how we resolve why the Reisha is that it's going to be Tetzeh, again, because it's the ones that saw a Kedushin, therefore you can't get married to someone else that are the primary. And here, it's Loi Tetzeh, because actually the primary are the ones that saw the Gerushin, because the other ones, all they said was that they didn't see it. But the Gemara asks, "My Kamash Malon, what is the case of the Sefer teaching us? What that Avagav to Dair B'Chatzer Echad, meaning to say the same Chiddush that, you know, although that they live in the same courtyard and we didn't hear that she got divorced, so maybe that should tell us that maybe she's really not divorced, and therefore what? So you would say that like that Tetzeh she should have to leave it, but if that's the case, Hainohach, that's the same Chiddush that we learned in the case of the Reisha. Why would we have to teach the same Chiddush of living in the same courtyard and not hearing? We already told you that that's not necessarily a Raya." So that the Gemara says no, because Ma'ad Tema, we would have thought to say, Gabi Kedushin, regarding the case of the Reisha, where it was talking about that they didn't hear that the woman was engaged, the Hu Davidi Inchi Demekacha Bitsina. It makes sense that for someone to get engaged, he gives her the ring, it's done in private, it's not necessarily that everyone's going to hear about it. But regarding divorce, im isa di garsha, if it's really true that she got divorced, and we're next door neighbors, kala isla la milsa, everyone would have heard about it. It's a big thing if someone's getting divorced. And therefore, maybe that it should be valid, this testimony that they're saying we didn't hear that she got divorced. Kamash Malam, that's what the Bryce is teaching, that it does happen. It happens that people get engaged in private. It also happens that it's a private affair, that when someone's getting divorced. And therefore, the halacha is that there's no proof from this that they didn't hear. And therefore, the halacha is, loy teitzei, the primary are the ones who said that we saw she got divorced. And therefore, we take for granted that she was divorced, and therefore, loy teitzei. But in spite of that, as Rashi points out, as we've been mentioning, that like a tchila, she still shouldn't get married because of what we call this lazus svasayim, as we explained in the previous daf, where we don't want to enter into a situation where people are saying, wait a second, is she really divorced? We didn't hear anything, and she's getting married to someone else. So, yes, although like a tchila, when she gets married, she doesn't have to leave, meaning b'diyavet, but like a tchila, she shouldn't get married to someone else. So that resolves the braisa, which concludes the discussion from the previous daf regarding the differentials in when there's trey or trey, and then in spite of that, the woman goes ahead and gets married to someone else. If the halacha is teitzei or loy teitzei, where again, as we described the difference over in this braisa of kedushin and gerushin, depending on the interpretation of Abaye and Rav Ashi. The Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that said, it concluded after it spoke about two cases of a pesha asa, a pesha hitir, regarding where a woman said that I was married, but I'm divorced, where a woman said I was taken captivity, but I was not defiled. So the Mishnah concluded, v'mishanis is bo edim, but if witnesses come after she's already married, then loitesi, she doesn't have to leave that marriage, that new marriage. So the Gemara brings a machlekes. Rabbi Yishia Masni La Resha, he learns this halacha of if she was already married, that witnesses came on the case of the Resha, which was that a woman said to Bezdin, look, I'm married, you didn't know that, I'm married, but I'm divorced. Now, based on her own testimony, she went and got married because she said she was divorced. And then witnesses come and say, wait a second, we knew that she was married. And that halach is that she doesn't have to leave, although that really revokes her whole kayach atayna, which is that a pesha asa, we don't have a pesha asa because the witnesses are telling that. Still, once she's married, she doesn't have to leave. Now, Rabbi Bar Oven, Master La Seif, he learns this qualification of the Mishnah going on the case of the Seifa, where she said she was taken captivity, but I'm Tahar, and therefore they permitted her to get married because it's Pesha Asa or Pesha Hitter. Then witnesses come after she's already married, and they come to Bez and they say, wait a second, this woman was taken captivity, where that takes away her Kayach HaTayna of Pesha Asa, but once she's married, she doesn't have to leave. So the Gemara explains the difference between these two opinions. Man the masni la reisha, according to Rabbi Yishia that learns this halacha on the reisha, well, kol shekein haseifa, well, most definitely he would say, regarding the case of captivity, that once she's already married, she wouldn't have to leave if the witnesses come after that. And the reason is because de b'shvuya hikilu. In general, the rabbis were more lenient regarding the halacha of a woman possibly being defiled in her captivity, because that's only what's called a chashash ba'alma. It's just a concern. Maybe when she was in captivity with the non-Jews, it's a big concern, but it's just a concern that maybe she was nivala to them and therefore invalidated to kahuna. But we don't know for sure. Therefore, if by the case of Eishas Ish, where that's a chazaka that she's a Eishas Ish, and definitely she's forbidden to anyone else, where even over there that if she got married already, she doesn't have to leave, for sure by the case of captivity. But a man, the master, la sefer, but according to Rabbi Oven, that learns it on the sefer regarding captivity, avala reisha loy. But he wouldn't say it on the case of the reisha. And rather, there actually, if Edom come and say, wait a second, she's a married woman. Now, she's saying she's getting divorced, but she doesn't have any more pesha aser. Actually, Rabbi Bar Oven would hold that she would have to be tasted. She would have to leave because she doesn't have the pesha aser, and there's a cheskes eishes ish that the Edom established that she was married. So the Gemara wants to say that Lema, but Rav Hamnuna Kamefuku. Let's say that Rav Eishia and Rabbi Bar Oven are arguing Rav Hamnuna's halacha. Now we quote on the previous daf that he says that a woman that tells her husband, you divorced me, she's believed carte blanche, because a woman would not be so audacious to tell her husband that she's divorced if she's not really. So let's say they argue in Rav Hamnuna's halacha. As the Gemara explains, the man, the masni la reisha, Rav Eishia, who learns this halacha of the Mishnah on the case of the reisha, Isla de Rav Amnuna, he holds Rav Amnuna's halacha, and therefore, although yes, when Edom comes, she loses her pesha aser, still the halacha is going to be loitetze, because ultimately she's saying grushani, I'm divorced. That's what she said even before the witnesses came. Now, she's believed, the woman's believed to say she's divorced, because no woman would be so audacious to say she's divorced if she's not really divorced. But Amad the Masna La Seifa, but Rabbi Oven that learns the halacha only on the Seifa, but not on the Reisha, let's say less later Rav Nun, he doesn't hold the Rav Nun's halacha. And therefore, if you lose your Pesha Aser, because witness is now the one that are creating the Isser of the Cheskes Eishes Hesh, so you don't have Pesha Hitter, so what right do you have to go get it married? You have a Cheskes Eishes Hesh. Now the fact that you're saying Grusha, that doesn't make you believable, because Rabbi Oven does not hold the Rav Nunah. And that's why the Mishnah was only qualifying in the case of the Seifa of a Shvuyah, where we're Mekel, but not in the case of Eishes Hesh. So the Gemara says, like, no. The Kulei Alma Isla Rav Nunah, we could say that actually everyone agrees to Rav Nunah's halacha. And that is a woman that tells her husband that you divorced me, she's believed. But for Hacha, what they are arguing about is the Marsava that Rabbi Oven holds. Kiit Medir Rav Amnuna, when did Rav Amnuna say this halacha that must be the woman saying the truth when she says that you divorced me? That's only befun of to the husband's face. No woman would have such azas to go ahead and tell the husband that you divorced me if he didn't really divorce her. Avashloi befun of me'iza, but not in front of him, which is what the case is talking about here, where the husband's not around and she's just claiming that, yes, I was married, but I lived very far away, but I got divorced. That, of course, then she would have the audacity to say it because it's not to his face and she's not afraid of saying that lie. Even not in front of the husband's face, even if she's coming from a faraway country, a woman would not have the audacity to say that, to make a lie that her husband divorced her. And therefore, she's believed after the fact, as we said, that Loi Teitzei, that she would not have to leave, because we believe her, even if she lost her Pesha Aser, in the fact if she says, Grushani, then I'm divorced. Now again, the Gemara quotes this part of the Mishnah that said, "V'mishnis is bo edim." If witnesses come after that she's already married, where again we said it's either going in the case of Eishes Ish or in the case of Shvuyah, then v'chulah the Mishnah said loy teitzei. She doesn't have to leave that new marriage. Now on that Amar Avudish, the father Shmuel qualifies what does the Mishnah mean when it says loy teitzei. He says loy nisis. This that the Mishnah said that if she's already married, okay. Look, we wouldn't have said necessarily that you get married, but if you're already married, and even though you lost your Pesha Aser, but then you don't have to leave that relationship. So on that, the Father Shmuel says that it doesn't mean this is mamish, doesn't literally mean that she had to have gotten married. Okay, so once you're married, even though witnesses come now, but once we believed you, we're not going to make you leave. It doesn't mean that you got married. Elekivin shehituru lenase. Even if it's just that in Bezin they paskin that she's permitted to get married, then Afa Pishlei Nisus, even if she didn't get married yet and witnesses come, she's still allowed to go ahead and get married to someone else. So the Gemara asks, but behold Loi Teitzei Katani, but the Mishnah says, Loi Teitzei, what does it mean Loi Teitzei? It means you don't have to leave that relationship. But according to the Father Shmuel, you're not even married. And the Gemara answers, what does Loi Teitzei mean? Loi Teitzei Meheter Harishin. She's not removed from the original permissibility that Beis Din gave her before the forbidding witnesses who come and remove her Pesha Aser. Beis Din permitted her based on her Pesha Aser. So therefore, she will still be permitted actually to get married because of the Psak of Beis Din, even though witnesses come and essentially there's no Pesha Aser. But once we said it's permitted, we're allowed to get married. So my turn upon the Braisa. Amr Nesh Beisiv, a woman says, I was taken in captivity. But you should know, V'tarani, I'm pure, I was never defiled. V'yeshli Eidim, and if you really want, I even have witnesses that were with me the whole time. Shetarani, that will prove that I'm pure, that there never was even a situation where my non-Jewish captors were even in confinement with me. Now, so the Brisa says, Ein Eimer, we don't say Namtin Atshe Yevo Eidim. We don't say, okay, let's wait till we hear from the testimonials of the witnesses. Elamatir Nesamiyad, rather we permit it right away, because that's actually the classic Pesha Aser Pesha Hiter, where she's the one that introduces the Shvuyah, she could say that she's Tyra. Now, Hitiru Lenase, if let's say, so they permit her to get married, V'achekach Bo Eidim, and then witnesses come who they're the ones that were there, they saw her taken in captivity, V'amr, and actually they say, Lo Yadanu, we don't know that she was tired. We didn't watch, she thought we were watching her the whole time. We didn't watch her the whole time. We can't say for a fact that she's Tahira. Now, but now what happens is, in this case, is she doesn't have the witnesses supporting her, but moreover, she loses her Pesha Aser, because her whole thrust of her claim was that she said she's Shvuah, so she could say she's Tahira, but now we don't need her for the Pesha Aser. We have witnesses saying that she was in captivity. In spite of that, the Braisa says, Harezu Loi Teitzei. Now this is exactly as the Father Shmuel had said, that once we already permitted her to get married, because we're allowed to based on Pesha Aser, now although she doesn't have that anymore, it's Loi Teitzei, she doesn't get removed from that original permissibility of getting married. Now, however, the Braisa says, Rimbo ede tuma. But if later witnesses come and say, we saw that the captors had beer with her, then afiliyash le kama bonim, then even if she has many children from this kayin that she later married, because she wasn't a zayna, she was believed to say that she didn't have beer psula with a non-Jew, but if the witnesses that come along and say that we saw that she had beer psula with the non-Jew forbidding her to a kayin, then teitzi, obviously she's going to have to leave that relationship because she's forbidden to the kayin. Now, illustrating this halacha of the father of Shmuel, the Gemara actually brings a story with the father of Shmuel. Hani Shvuyasa, there were these women that were captives, the Asin Lenarda that were brought to Narda for them to be ransomed. So Esav Avud Shmuel Nituri Bahadai, so the father Shmuel placed watchmen to make sure that the captors, until they were able to officiate all the ransoming to redeem them, that they didn't do anything inappropriate with these women. So Shmuel said to his father, he says, and up until now, who watched them? What are you so concerned about? These women were captives for all this long time. Now you're going to make sure nothing happens? So Amalei, his father told him, Ilu v'nasachavin, if these were your daughters, mihavisa mezalzal bahu kulahai, would you be so disgraceful to treat them so lightly? These are Jewish women. We have to make sure that they're taken care of. Now the Gemara tells us the Havya that what happened with the statement of the father Shmuel, it's essentially like what a pasuk says in Keheles, kishkagu shayitzim lefni hashalat, which literally means that the mistake that came out of in front of the leader, what that means and figuratively is that when the great tzaddik says something, and even that wasn't meant to be a curse, but it essentially that's what it was, because he was saying that, and what about your daughters if they were taken in captivity? And actually, that's what ended up happening. Vishtabian Bansi Demar Shmuel, and that the daughters of Shmuel were taken as captives. So the story goes on that Vaskinu La'ard Yisrael. Now, his daughters as captives were taken up by their captors to Eretz Yisrael. Ukmin Lishvyunayu Mavroi. So the daughters of Shmuel, they kept the captors on the outside that they shouldn't come into the Bezdin which they were going into. Now, they didn't want Bezdin to know that they were captives. They wanted them to know only based on their own testimony. Now, because of that, then they'll permit them based on Pesh Aser. And that's actually what happened. So they left their captives on the outside. They quickly ran into the Beis Medrash of Reb Chanina. So Hamer, one of the daughters of Shmuel, said, Nishbesi, I was taken in captive, but v'tahirani, but I'm pure. V'hamer, the other daughter, gets up and she says, Nishbesi, v'tahirani, I was taken captive, but I'm pure also. So Sharina, they permitted them, because that's Pesh Aser, Pesh Hittim. Now, Saif, ultimately, Ul Asu Shvanayu. So the captors are aware of these girls. They went into the Beis Medrash. And then the Bezdin saw that they were captive because the captors are here. So Amr Rebchanin said, oh, Benan de Morgan Inun. These women must be the daughters of some great person and someone that's a Baal Hira, that Paskin Salacha, that they knew how to do this. Because if they weren't so smart, we would have known their shvuyas without them, and then they wouldn't have been believed to be ksheres l'kahuna. So igloi milsa, so it is revealed the banse de bar Shmuel havin, that these were the daughters of Shmuel. So amali Reb Chanina l'Rav Shimon bar Abba. Reb Chanina said to Reb Shimon bar Abba, who was a kohen, he said, "Puk itbal b'kroy v'secha." He says, "Go out and take care of your relatives. In other words, go ahead and marry one of them because they're your relatives, and you have an obligation of m'psarcha al tesalim to go ahead and marry them." Amalei Reb Chanina, so Reb Shimon said to Reb Chanina, but voike edim ibedina sayam, but there are witnesses overseas that saw that they were taken in captivity. Now, maybe they're going to come tomorrow or a later time after I'm already married, and they're going to say that, oh, we know that these daughters of Shmuel were taken in captivity. If that's the case, then these daughters lose their pesha aser, and then they're going to be forbidden to kahuna and amakayin, because they're going to have a chazaka, or at least a concern, that they had biasur with the non-Jewish captors. So on that, Reb Chanina answered him. He says, "Don't worry, hashda mias lesnu kaman." But now, before they're getting married, those witnesses who you're claiming are in overseas, they're not here. And because maybe they're going to come, we're not going to make them forbidden now. And that is as he explained. He says, "Eidim b'tzad istan, if there are witnesses towards the north, v'teyaser, and that they should be forbidden now." What do you mean? They're not here now when I'm telling you to get married. So we don't have to be concerned what's going to be. Now, that the Gemara asks. Time and delay also aid them. What it sounds like from that conversation is that because witnesses didn't come yet, that's why Rav Chanin was saying it's permitted for you to go ahead and marry them even though you're a kohen. But ha'asu aid them mitzra, it sounds like that if witnesses would come now, before they were married, that then the daughters of Shmuel would be forbidden. But the father of Shmuel said, as we quoted this halacha before, Kivin Shetirul Nasi, once it's Paskin the Bezin that they're permitted, which happened in this case of Rabbi Chanina. They didn't see the captives until they already said, oh, Pesha Asa, you said you were captive. Oh, Pesha Hitta, you said you were tarp. Fine, you're kosher. Then, Afa Pishle Nisis, then even if they didn't get married yet, that they're permitted, even though Adim or the captives are going to come and we're going to know about it. So, what was he so concerned about this Rav Shem? And who cares if witnesses come? They're permitted already. The conversation wasn't about that he's concerned about witnesses that saw they were taken in captivity. That, yes, that as like the father Shmuel said, once we paskin, they're permitted. But he was concerned about that there are witnesses overseas that saw them, that they were defiled, that they had bia. That is a real concern, because if he's a kayin, he's concerned that when these witnesses will come, then there will be tetzi. He's going to have to remove her from that relationship because he's actually forbidden to such a woman. And that was his concern. And that was Reb Chanina was telling him that in spite of that, if witnesses are not here, we don't have to think what's going to be if they will come. And therefore the halacha is that she is muteris. But that was the conversation. But because of Edi Shmuel, that of course would not be a concern, as the father of Shmuel had said. Now we continue on to Amud Beis, where again the next Mishnah continue on this theme of the previous Mishnahs of this parak, talking about the halacha of Pesha Asa, where one person says the problem and therefore then could say the resolution. So the Mishnah says, Shtei Noshim Shenishbu, when you have two women that were taken in captivity. Now, as Rashi explains, there are witnesses that they were taken in captivity, which thus, obviously, as the Mishnah will explain, makes you lose your Pesha Asa. You can't be believed that you're Tahar, because we already know that you were in captivity, and there's definitely a larger assumption that you were bull with the non-Jewish captors. So therefore, as the Mishnah says, so one of the women says, I was taken in captivity and I'm tahar. And the other one says, I was taken in captivity, I'm tahar. Saying, and I'm honest, they're not believed, because each one doesn't have a pesha aser, and we have this chashash of that they were nivela. But, but if each one of these women go ahead and testify regarding her friend, and each one says, I'm telling you, I know that my friend is tahar, is Tahira, then Hareil and Amanis. Then actually they are both believed, and the reason is as we mentioned in Amud Aleph, that we were lenient regarding a woman in captivity, that we believe even one witness, even if it's a woman. So since each one has another woman that's saying that she's Tahira, each one will be Tahira because of what the friend is saying about her. Regarding herself, she's not believed. But however, regarding what a friend is saying about her, that will make each one believed, and then they'll be Tahar for Kahuna. Now, the Gemara quotes a Braisa that elaborates on this halacha, and the Braisa quotes four different cases, which the Gemara will explain the conceptualization of these cases. Tarbon Linda Braisa. Case number one. If a woman says, Ani Tameya, that I am Tame, meaning this that I was in captivity, I was defiled by a non-Jewish cohabitation, the Chaverti Tahir, but I'm telling you, my friend is Tahir, I know nothing ever happened with her. So then the Mena, she's believed regarding both elements that she's saying. A, that she's Tommy, and B, that her friend is Tahar. Case number two, the other way around. Ani Tahira, the Chaverti Tameya. I'm telling you that I'm Tahar, nothing happened to me, but I'm telling you this woman, she's Tameya. Then Ein in a Menace. She's not believed regarding both elements that she's saying. And the Gemara later on will explain all these cases. Case number three. Ani V'Chaverti Tameya. Me and my friend are Tame. The non-Jewish captors had be with both of us. So, nemenes al atzma, she's believed regarding herself that she is Tameya, but ve'ena nemenes al chaverti, she's not believed regarding her friend to say that her friend is Tameya. Case number four, ani v'chaverti tar, she says, me and my friend are tar, nothing happened to both of us. So, nemenes al chaverti, she's believed regarding her friend to say that she's Tahira, which is essentially like the case of our Mishnah, which one aid is believed regarding the other one, but ve'ena nemenes al atzma, and she's not believed regarding herself to say that she is Tahira. Now the Gemara explains, Amamar. We said in the Braisa, regarding the second case of the Braisa, Ani Tahira v'chaverti Tameya. I'm Tahira, and my friend is Tameya. So the Braisa said, Ein man, she's not believed. So the Gemara wants to explain the cases. Hey Chidami, what is this case talking about? Idaleka Eidim, if there's no witnesses that know that these women were ever taken in captivity. So then the question is, Alatzma Maila Mehemna, why isn't she believed when she says that she's Tahira? Nishbesi Vitahira ni Kaamra. This is the classic Pesha Aser, which she's saying that I was taken in captivity. You don't know that. But and therefore I'm the Pesha Aser. But Pesha hit her because I'm saying that I'm tar, so why wouldn't she be believed? So Elipshita Dikadim, obviously we have to say that the second case of the Brice is talking about that there are witnesses that she was taken into captivity. So therefore, regarding herself, she's not believed to say she's tahira because she doesn't have a Pesha Asr. Now, moreover, Rashi explains, regarding her friend, we also say that she's not believed regarding the case that she's saying her friend is Temeya. Now, although that, yes, based on the Eidei Shvu, we will say that the other woman will also be Becheskes Temeya, but that's not because of the believing this woman who's saying that I'm Tar and she's Temeya. Because even without what she's saying regarding her friend, we anyway would have that other woman Becheskes Temeya. So essentially, we don't believe her on either one. So although, yes, the halacha of the other one will be Temeya, but it's not based on what we're believing her. And neither do we believe her regarding herself that she's Tahira, because we have two witnesses saying that she's a Shvua, and therefore there's no Pesha Asr. But the Gemara says, Eimim Mitziyasa, let's see the middle case. In other words, the third case of the Braisa. The Braisa said, Ani v'chaverti Temeya. If she says that me and my friend are both Tameh. So he said, Nemenes al Atzma, she's believed regarding herself that she's Temeya. But Ve'ena Nemenes al Chaverti, she's not believed regarding her friend to say that she is Temeya. Now Rashi points out that obviously regarding this case of the Braisa, we have to be talking about that her friend is Becheskes Tahira. In other words, because regarding the first case that we described of the Reisha, where we said that she's not believed. Now, although we said that that's regarding her entire testimony, but it makes sense to say that we don't believe her, that since we're not believing her regarding herself, so we said we don't believe her in her one large statement, so we don't believe her, it makes sense also to say we don't believe her regarding her friend too, because although her friend will be Tamei, but again, it's not because of what she said regarding the friend. But again, it's only because it's included in one big statement where we say we don't believe her because she's putting herself and then her friend, we don't believe her regarding herself, so we could say we don't believe her also regarding the friend. But over here, where explicitly the Tana of the Brice is saying that we don't believe her regarding her friend because that's what it says. It says regarding this case where we believe her regarding herself, again, to say that she's Temeya, but we don't believe her regarding her friend, so it says explicitly regarding her friend. Now the question is, V'idika Edim, if there are witnesses that these women were taken into captivity, well then, Amai Loi Mehemna, why is she not believed to say that a friend is Temeya? Again, because although we explained the previous case that not believing will mean, yes, she'll be Temeya, but we don't believe her because of what she said, but here where it's explicitly going on her friend, then what does it mean we don't believe her regarding the friend? Of course we believe her, and even if we're not believing her, but not believing her makes it sound like that her friend will be Tar. How could her friend be Tar if there are witnesses that she was taken into captivity? So every woman, unless you have someone else saying that you're Tar, will be considered Temeya. So Elab Shita, rather it's obvious, that the third case of the Brayas is Tomat, Deleka Edim, where there are no witnesses. So there's no witness, so this woman cannot make that other woman prohibited based on her singular testimony saying that she's Temeya, because in Dove Sheba Erva Pachas Mishnayim, to make a woman forbidden, you need at least to have the testimony of two witnesses. Now, however, regarding herself, although there's no witnesses that she was taken into captivity, she is believed to say that she's Tamei, because that's the classic halacha of Shaveh Nafshe Chaticha D'Yisura, where she is herself establishing herself as someone that's forbidden, saying I was Temeya, so a woman is believed to say that she's Temeya. So we have the case of the Reisha, that's obviously talking about that there are witnesses. We have the case of the third case of the Brice, which obviously is talking about that there's no witnesses. Now, Amos Seifa, let's see the fourth case of the Brice, where she says, Ani v'chaverti tahira, me and my friend are tahira. So the Brisa says, Nemenes al chaverta, she's believed regarding her friend that she's tahira. But ve'ena nemenes al atzma, she's not believed regarding herself to say that she's tahira. Now the question is, v'ida leke edim, if there are no witnesses, as we said in the previous case, atzma ma'ila mehemna, why she not believed regarding herself that she's tahira? But that's pesha asu pesha hitir. She's saying she's captive, she's saying she's tahira. El pshita deke edim, so obviously the fourth case of the Brisa taught that there are witnesses. So the Gemara says, in conclusion, Reisha v'seifa, the second case of the Braisa and the fourth case of the Braisa, the Ika Edim, are obviously, as we just explained, talking about that there are witnesses that were taken in captivity. Metzi asa the Leka Edim, and then you have the third case of the Braisa, which is talking about that there's no witnesses. Sama baya in, yes. Reisha v'seifa the Ika Edim, obviously the way we just concluded, as you have to say, the second case of the Braisa and the fourth case of the Braisa, talking about that there are witnesses that they were taken in captivity. And Metziyas Leke Edim. But the middle case, the third case of the Braisa, is talking about that there are no witnesses. Rav Papa Amei says no. Kula de Ike Edim. All four cases of the Brais are talking about that there were witnesses that saw that they were taken into captivity. But there's another variable in this Brais that will help us understand how to resolve the cases. But there's one witness that reverses everything this woman said. In other words, this woman is so warped, or the one witness is so warped, whichever way it is, that whatever the woman says, he says exactly the opposite, diametrically opposed, as the Gemara explains the cases. Amra, ani tamei v'chaver titayr. Regarding the first case of the Braisa, where the woman says, I'm tamei, my friend is tahira. Now, v'amra lo eidecha, now the one witness says the opposite, he says, no, at tahir v'chaver tach tamei, you're the tahir one and your friend is the tamei. So on that, the halacha is, as the Braisa says, she went by saying she's tamei. A person is believed regarding themselves to create an iser, and therefore she will be forbidden because she's saying she's tamei. However, her friend will be permitted to a kain based on her own testimony that's saying her friend is tahira. And that is because regarding women in captivity, the sages believed even one witness as a leniency, even if it's a slave or it's a maidservant, as the Mishnah later on, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, explains, that if there's witnesses, even an Eved, we believe them. Now, wherever we believe one witness, they have a status as two witnesses. And therefore, this one witness that's contradicting this woman to say that, no, that actually your friend that you're saying is Tahir is actually Tamei, is Oymid B'Makom Shnayim of this woman who is believed, which again is what we do regarding Shvuya, and therefore he's not believed, and actually we believe the woman, and that's where the friend is Tahir. Moving on to case number two, where it's the other way around. She says, Ani Tahir, I'm pure, V'chaverti Tamei, my friend is Tamei. The Amalo Eidechad, and the one witness tells her, no, At Tamei, V'chavertach Tahir, you're the Tamei one, and your friend is Tahir one. So, Ihi, regarding the woman herself, Kivin De'ike Eidim, since as we explained, all the cases are talking about that there were witnesses who testify that were taken into captivity, to Lav Kol Kamine. So she's not believed to say that she's the Tahir one, because she doesn't have a Pesha Aser, because there are two witnesses saying that she was in captivity. Now, as Rashi explains, it means to say that she's not believed because we have the Eidim that say she was in captivity. But it's not that we're concerned regarding the one witness that's saying that she's Tamei, because that's nothing. We only find that in the Parsha of Saita, where when there's Raglayim Ladavu, when there's already suspicion, where he already did Kino, he warned her, and she did Nistira, which she secluded with the man, then we believe one man who says that she was Metama. But in general, we don't believe one man that she was Metama. It's only that we don't believe her to say that she's Tahir, because we have the two witnesses who say that she was a Shvuya. Now, Chavert and Mishtariya Pumid Eid. But her friend, although she's saying her friend is Tameya, the one witness who's saying that she's the Tahira, he has the status of Shtai Eidim, because that's the leniency we give for Shvuya, that we believe one witness who says that she's Tahira, and therefore that's why she's Tahira, in spite that she says that she's Tameya. Moving on to case number three. Ani v'chaverti Tamei, where she says, me and my friend are Tameya. V'amala eidechad, but the one witness says, no, the opposite. At v'chavertach Tahira, you and your friend are actually Tahira. So Ihi, regarding herself, Shavisal Nafshachatich Adisur, as we said, that she's creating the Issa for herself, and therefore that one witness will not be believed to say that she's Tahira. Chaverti Mishtariya Puma De'ed, and her friend will be believed to be permitted based on the testimony of that one witness who says that both you were Tahira. Now the Gemara asks regarding this third case of the Braisa, that Hasul Amali, what do we need? What is this third case of the Braisa teaching us? Hainu Reisha, this is the same thing that we already learned from the first two cases of the Braisa. In other words, there are two elements that we learn from this third case, but both of them are mentioned in the Reisha. First of all, the fact that the woman herself is forbidden because of Chatichah Yisura, that we already mentioned in the Reisha. And regarding this, that her friend will be permitted because of a one witness's testimony, which here is the other one witness who's contradicting her, that we learn from what's called the Seifa of the Reisha. As Rashi explains, there's four cases in the Braisa. And each two cases, the first two are called the Reisha because they're similar to each other in the sense of that it's one is either she's saying I'm Tar and she's Tamei or I'm Tamei and she's Tar. And the two cases of the last two cases are also considered the Seifa because each one is the same because it's either all or nothing. Either she's saying that we're both Tar or we're both Tamei, and therefore both in the Reisha and the Seifa are considered the same cases. So essentially what the Gemara is asking, in the Reisha, I mean the first two cases, we already know these two halachis of Shavi Nafshe and one witness being considered like two witnesses. So why do we need this third case for? So that the Gemara says, Ma de teme, we would have thought to say, Hanu tavayu tahiris ninu. We actually would have thought to say that no. This that the woman is saying that we're both tummy, and the one witness who's contradicting her, who says that you're both tahar, that he's believed to say that they're tahar, which therefore makes our friend tahar, but she herself was saying it's forbidden because of Shavei Nafshe, we would think that actually there's no Shavei Nafshe. Actually, she's going to be tahar based on the one witness's testimony that she's tahar. Now, but this that she said that I am, and my friend is also Temeya, why would we say that that wasn't Shavei Nafshe? Because the only reason why she said that is because she wanted to make her friend Tame. No, she's not believed to do that. So once we undo what she's trying to accomplish, so we even lose Shavei Nafshe because there was no Shavei Nafshe. She wasn't really establishing any criteria regarding herself. She was only saying she's Tame to make her friend Tame, as the Pasuk in Shaftim says, that Tamas Nafshe in Pelishtim, where let me die, but at least let me die taking down the Philistines with me. He deka'avda, that's what she was trying to do. She only wanted to make her friend. She hated her so much. She said, I'm going to say about both of us that were tummy, just that she's considered tummy, and she cannot marry a Kayin. Therefore, once we verify that a friend could, therefore, okay, her plot was uncovered, and she shouldn't be considered usher. Kamash Malan, that's what the Chiddush of the third case is saying, that she is believed regarding herself, that she is going to be Tameya, and she herself will be forbidden to Kahuna. Moving on to the fourth case of the Braisa, when she says, Ani v'chaverti tahira, she says, me and my friend are tahira. V'amala eirech, and then one witness says, no, at v'chavertach tmeya, actually you and your friend are both tmeya. So, ihi, kiven deke edim, herself, as we explained before, that since there are witnesses that say that she was in captivity, so lav kol kamin, again, we don't believe her regarding herself because she doesn't have a peshasa. But chaverta mishtari apumidida, but her friend is permitted based on her testimony, which she's saying that we're both tahar, so for herself she's not believed, but regarding her friend, she's believed, as we said, that the one witness who's saying that they're tamei is not believed, but makom shnayim, or whoever it is that's permitting the shvuya. Again, the Gemara asks, hasul amali, why do we need the fourth case of the Braisa? Hainu reisha de reisha, that is already understood from the first case of the first two cases, which again we're calling the reisha. And that is because, definitely, because of this, to say that she's not believed regarding herself, that we didn't need the Braisa to tell us. Because that we already learned many times, that when there's witnesses that she was in captivity, we don't believe the woman herself to say that she's tired because there's no Pesha Aser. So obviously, what the Braisa maybe is teaching us in the fourth case is that she's believed regarding her friend. And that is, even though the one witness is contradicting her, she's believed, as we said, because she has the power of two, and ain't echad ben makam shnayim. But again, that we already know from the case of the reisha de reisha, from the first case of the braisa. So the Gemara answer is no. Ma de teima ki mehamna, we would have thought to say, when do we believe the woman regarding her fellow captive, that she's tahar, even though there's a contradictory witness? That's b'makom the pasul nafsha. Maybe that was only in the first case of the braisa, where she's invalidating herself. She is saying, I'm Temeya, but she's Tahira. Maybe over there is only where she's believed regarding her friend, because obviously there's no bias, because she's saying, I'm Tameh, don't worry, I'm not getting any personal gain. But I'm saying she's Tahira. Of b'makom the makshar nafsha, but where she's trying to say that she is also Tahar, and she's trying to say, what do you mean, we're all Tahar, I'm Tahar, she's Tahar. Ema, then I would say that it's only because of herself that she's saying it, and only parenthetically is she including her friend, but really she's just trying to garner support for her own tara. Then lo mehemne, maybe we shouldn't believe her even regarding her friend. Kamash Bulam. That's what the fourth case of Bais is teaching us, that no, we believe her regarding her friend. Now, although she's doing it together with herself to say that we're both tahira, now, although we don't believe her regarding herself because of there's no Pesha Aser, but regarding her friend, since she's one aid on the other woman, she actually will be believed. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on the theme of this parak of Pesha Aser, and moreover, when you don't have Pesha Aser, that another person in your same situation, as in the case of Shvuya, could go ahead and say testimony for you that what you're saying is true. As the Mishnah says, V'chein Shnei Anoshim, same thing applies to two men. This one says, I'm a Kayin. And this one says, I'm a Kayin. So, in an amanim, they're not believed for us to have to give them truma, because who are you? We don't know any proof that you're a Kayin. Now, however, at a time when each one testifies regarding the other one, where each one saying that me and my friend is a kohen, so Hariel Naman, then they are believed, because then we have one witness testifying regarding each other one, and that one aid will work just like we had regarding the case of Shvuya. Rabbi Yehuda, he says no. Ein man lekohun al pi eidachad. Yes, you're right regarding the previous Mishnah regarding Shvuya, that will work, because that's a leniency regarding Shvuya. But we cannot establish a kahanic status of a person based on the testimony of one witness. And that is even if there wasn't this concept of called goimlin, when each one gains from the other one's testimony. And therefore, as Rashi explains, for sure Rabbi Yehuda would hold that they wouldn't be believed in this case, where there's another concern. Forget about that we don't believe Eid Echad, but here, each one might be saying kahuts to the other one, saying, look, you say I'm a kain, I'll say you're a kain. One aid is believed, we'll then both be kain, we'll both get so much truma. So Rabbi Yehuda says we never believe them. And in other words, we never believe one aid to establish a kahanic status. Now, a third opinion the Mishnah brings, Amr Belazar, he says, Emasai, when is it that we don't believe Eid Echad to establish kahanic status? That's when Mokum Shesh Ayr. That's only when there's rumors going about this person that he's not really a kain. So therefore, then you would need two aidim to establish a status. But when there's no rumors, no murmuring about this, that he's a kain, then we could establish kahanic status even based on one witness's testimony. Now, as Rashi points out, that Rabbi Elazar says is only when there's not like the case of a Mishnah, not when each one is saying regarding his friend that each other is a kain, meaning that when there's no concern of gaimlin, if there's just a regular random person saying that he's a kain, he'll be believed if there's no ayrin, and that is, as Rashi points out, that would be the difference between Rabbi Elazar and the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yehuda, where although it seems like they're both saying you believe Eid Echad, Tanakhama says even when there's a concern of gaimlin, we still believe them, where each one is saying regarding the other one he's a kain. Rabbi Elazar only says when there's no gaimlin. The fourth opinion the Mishnah brings, Rabbi Shimon Leilaimer, Rabbi Shimon ben Hasgan, Malin lekuhuna al pi eidachad, that we establish the kahanic status even based on one witness's testimony, and the Gemara will explain. So what's the difference between what he's saying and the Tanakhama? They both seem to be saying that in all situations we can establish a kahanic status based on one witness's testimony.